Experience the Bible like never before with Step In Bible Stories for Children, a brand new podcast just for kids that brings Bible stories to life, all told by me, Reverend David Senior, with bite-sized episodes that fit into your child's daily routine. It's a gentle way to start their journey of faith. Step In Bible Stories for Children is out now and ready to stream on Premiere Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I then went from this moment of like ashamed, quiet, and it literally flipped. I wanted to tell everyone.
The Profile with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Welcome back to The Profile here on Premier Christian Radio. I'm Emma Fowle. The Profile is brought to you in association with Premier Christianity, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Head over to premierchristianity.com/podcast for your exclusive half-price subscription offer. I chat to footballer Jason McCarthy. Jason, who plays for Wycombe Wanderers FC, did not grow up in a Christian home, but when a death in the family coincided with a tricky period in his professional playing career, he was drawn to the faith of his fellow teammates. He shares his miraculous conversion story and that of his wife with us today. Let's listen in now. So tell me your story. How did you become a Christian?
Okay, so I wasn't raised in a Christian home. I had like a really good upbringing, actually. Like my mum didn't have to work. My dad had a really good job. And I was in the, it's best kind of to explain it really through my football journey. So I started in Southampton Academy when I was like eight, went right the way through the academy system at Southampton. So I just had like an amazing childhood, just filled with like football and always like love. We lived in like the New Forest, so just such a really nice childhood and upbringing, like really fond memories. I never actually had to deal with any kind of like real trials or like tribulations in my life. And then I like kind of broke into the first team at Southampton, and then I then kind of like hit a block there, and then I went on a couple of like loan moves. So I actually came to Wycombe, funnily enough, and then I went to another club, Walsall, in the Midlands, and then I officially like moved out of my home and signed for Barnsley, and like left Southampton like permanently. So Barnsley bought me. And I moved in with my now wife, who's girlfriend at the time, Zara, and we like moved out. So we went up to Barnsley, big move up to like South Yorkshire, and I just had like the worst year of my life. Like so many things happened that year. I got held at knife point. I got assaulted in a nightclub. We got burgled. Like loads of my uncle passed away. My granddad passed away like in the same week. So I'd gone from like just this like really good, my career was kind of doing that at this point as well. Like it was on a really
What age would you have been then?
Well, in 21.
Okay.
So I was still really young.
Yeah, big move like, at 21.
Yeah, definitely. But this was like the first, like, so I went from like great to then loads of things started happening off the pitch. And that's when I really realised that all of my happiness was built on football, really. So, like, my God was football. So, by this point, football was an enjoyment became, like, just an escape, really, from what was going on outside. Another thing that was important to mention is, so, my uncle and granddad, that was my dad's brother and my dad's dad. So my dad was depressed, and I couldn't get down to see my dad, and like I felt a little bit guilty. Like I felt a little bit like seeing and hearing my dad going through what he was going through, like, and I couldn't kind of be there. It was like I took that up kind of on myself, and then I then in turn started really struggling, and yeah, all this stuff was going on, and also I was a very different person like back then. Like I liked to go out and have a drink after a game. I liked just the things of the world, like just probably a little bit materialistic, really cared about what people thought of me. That was like a big thing. Like, yeah, I was like so in that part of it. But so the inevitable happened in football. Like you lose form or the manager just changes his mind and wants to go a different way. And I came out of the team and I hadn't experienced like a long period out of a team at this point in my career. And then all of a sudden that thing that was like keeping me afloat was like God just ripped it away and just stripped everything back. And I was like, I was at my lowest really, just felt just terrible. But there was a guy in the team who was a Christian and he wasn't what I'd experienced before in terms of when people had spoke about God. So his name's George Moncur. His dad played at West Ham as well. John Moncur was his dad. But he was like a proper geezer. So he was like from, he's from like Essex.
And it's my part of the world.
So whereabouts are you from?
I'm from Loughton originally. I live down in Cornwall now, so I'm a long way away. But yeah, all my family are EastEnders. I'm an Arsenal fan though, not a West Ham, but you know.
Oh, nice. So this guy was just constantly talking to me about Christ. And I was just like, I've never heard anyone like so open and share how he shared. And I loved it. Like, and it really, I got quite close with him. And he, even though like I loved it, it wasn't enough at that point. But so George sowed the seed like within me, like I would say.
That's interesting you say that you loved it because you, like you said, you've got no sort of faith background. So you weren't like kind of like, this is weird. Why is this guy talking to me about Jesus?
No, you're right. You're right. I guess I love being around him because I love how like, joyful he was. So, like, I flooded to him, really, because obviously I was going for a lot, and I just really enjoyed being around him. I was obviously enjoying being around the presence of God, like, is what I was, like, my soul was loving it. But it just, at that point, it just wasn't enough for me. Like, I was just like, I'm just not there yet. I had just the worst year, like I said. So I just, in my head, I was like, I want to go back down south and be closer to my family. I wasn't loving the weather up north and all that anyway. So I was like, I want to just go back. I had a tough year, just a reset. So I signed for Wickham. Football was going well again. Everything was good off the pitch, sort of starting to pick back up, settle down. And then I kind of realised after a couple of months that I had this anxious, like anxiety that like, even though everything was good, I'm like, if something happens again around this stuff, like I really don't like how that was for me. Like, and I just started, these questions started to like sort of pop up within me, and I started to be like, just start thinking a little bit more about life and just, and then one day I was having lunch in the canteen. I'll never forget it. And two lads were sat across from me in the canteen, and one guy was called Alex Samuel, who led me to the Lord, as I'm going to share, and another guy, Ben Fremper, and they were talking about Jesus, and the way they were talking about Jesus was the same way George Moncur was talking, spoke about Jesus. It's why it's so important that we share and talk openly about our faith. And I was listening, pretending to listen to something over here, but I was really listening to what they were saying. It's funny because I was very much, at this point onwards, I was like the disciples before the Holy Spirit came. So I pulled Alex aside very secretly, because I was kind of getting on with him anyway. And I said to him, look, Alex, I'd really like to go for a coffee with you and talk to you a little bit more about your faith. And he said, yeah, I'd love to. For the next month, me, Alex and Ben, we would go for coffee. I reckon we went like every day we were in, but very, very sneakily. I was like asking Alex, Can't like and just keeping it on the down low. And I wasn't telling anyone, I wasn't telling my girlfriend, I wasn't telling my family that I was on this journey, but they were sharing their testimonies with me. They were talking to me about the Bible. They were just sharing the gospel with me and the love of Jesus, really. And I always remember thinking, I couldn't believe their testimonies and like how the history they had with Jesus. I was just like, and how real it was to them and how seriously they took it. And I was just like, this is incredible. And I really started to, I got to a point where I was like, if this is real, this changes everything, absolutely everything in my life. I started to pray and I really started to feel like I was being listened to and like something was developing, like a relationship. I was sort of getting there, but still very like quiet, secretive about it. And then I had like my Damascus moment. I had like a really radical encounter with Jesus. And I was driving in the car one day. It was our day off. So I liked to go swimming. I used to, before kids, like to go swimming on my day off. And I was driving along. I heard like an audible voice come over my right shoulder. I hadn't read the Bible at this point, but I know it to be true because of what happened here. And I heard the voice, and the voice said, "Jason, my son, I'm proud of you and I love you." And then I felt like, from that moment, I felt like a warmth go from like, it literally just went up, like up from the bottom of my toes to the top of my head. I felt like this real warm presence just come over me. Like this wave of like love, just like I'd never ever experienced before. So I say I know the Bible to be true, because at the time I thought, why? Like, no one calls me Jason. Like, everyone calls me Jay or Jace or Maka, like, because of my last name. And then I was like, why has he called me, like, Jay? If he's like, he said my son. Like, so, I was just, like, I paused and, like, pulled over. And I remember I cried, like, my eyes out. I didn't know what repentance meant at this point. I hadn't spoke to Alex or Ben about it. But I just remember that I prayed this prayer of like repentance. I remember saying that I believe like you've died, Lord, for me, and that I'm going to live for you. I then went from this moment of like ashamed, quiet. It literally flipped. I wanted to tell everyone.
You're making me cry. It's such a sweet story.
Sorry.
Which of these topics has not been covered on PremierChristianity.com? UFOs, near-death experiences, Doctor Who, Christ's return, the faith of celebrities, and Andrew Tate? Trick question. We don't shy away from any topic. We cover faith as it affects us in daily life and give you the bigger picture. PremierChristianity.com. Special podcast subscription offer at PremierChristianity.com/podcast.
I then was willing to tell everyone, like my teammates overnight thought, like I'd lost the plot. Like I was telling people about the gospel, like in the changing room. And my wife, yeah, Zara at the time was like really worried about me. She was pregnant. So she's like, oh my word, like what's happened to my, and we were engaged to get married. So my fiance, she's like, what's happened? Like,
she had no idea about this at this point.
So I just come home one day and I'm like, God is real. Like, yeah. I'm like, God is real. She's like, what are you talking about? Yeah, what are you talking about? And I'm like, Zara, blah, blah, blah. And I just went like, this everywhere, just told her everything. And I was like, he spoke to me like, blah, blah, and he said all this, like, I'm just like, trust me. And then she's just like, rightly so at the time, she was just like, what are you talking about? Like, and then it's like in every conversation I had so much zeal, like I'd make her a cup of tea and I'd be like, yeah, I'll make you a cup of tea because God loves you. Just like so much, very little wisdom, but like a lot of zeal. And then So yeah, so that's how I came to Christ. So then my wife, basically, I came home from church one night and I got like a prophetic word. So like I said to her, like, oh my word, I got a word tonight, and it's like really, really accurate. And that was the tipping point. She was like, and then she said, look, listen. And she got all this stuff up on her phone. She had like the notes on her phone, and she said, listen, this is what's going on here. Like, she was in tears, like 6 months pregnant, and she said, like, change of personality, like all of this stuff, like, and I was just like, I
So how long
remember.
later, how much sort of further down the road was this? You'd obviously got married and you're
So
pregnant.
no, we haven't got married yet.
Okay.
So this is the thing, like I was like, God, you're gonna have to do something here. Like, because she's pregnant. We're due to get married in 2 years. So
Okay. Yeah.
like, I don't want to live in sin either. Like, I'm like, what am I gonna do? Like, and then I really felt the Lord just saying, like, just keep praying, just keep praying. All right, okay. So anyway, and then this was the point that she was like, in tears, pregnant. She was just basically saying, if this doesn't change, I've got to think about things. And I'm like, and then I remember in the moment I said to her, which I think really, she says, like, it really took her back, because like Zara's everything to me. I said to her, look, I'm not like stepping away from this. Like, if I come away from this, I don't know who I am. I was like, this is real to me. I was like, but what I'll do, I was like, I'll take a step back and tone it back in front of, like, with you. And then, like, if you want to ask me questions, just ask me, whatever. And I think she was a bit like, you're willing to risk this for this, like. And then from that point, she went on like a quest to prove me wrong. So my mum and dad were at the games, right, Emma? Like, and they would like gang up in the stands, and they'd be like gossiping about me, like, what's he doing? Like, what? And I completely understand it. They were like, he's crazy. Like, he's lost the plot. Like, so I had like my parents and like I had them all against me, and it was just me and Alex. Like, just like, and he was like, trust, just hang in there. He's like, keep praying. And I'm like, this is tough. Like, my parents are quite like, they're amazing, but like with something like this, they were rightly worried. Like, they were like, oh,
So
what's
basically,
happening?
they thought you'd joined a cult or something and thought
Yeah, mum.
lost
So
the plot.
my mum pulled me for a dog walk when I went down to see her, like just me and her. And she was like in tears to me. Like, she was like, I've lost you to the church, son. Like, you've joined a cult. Like, all this stuff. And I was just like, it's mad, because everyone around me is like worried and like crying. And I'm like, this is the best, like, I've my whole life. Like, I feel incredible. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and
On the surface, you've completely changed. You've stopped all
yeah.
the bad behavior.
Exactly. I stopped swearing. Like, I stopped, like overnight, I was like, I'm not gonna drink anymore. I was like, oh, but it was all from a place of like, I don't wanna do them things anymore, like, because I'm free. Like, it's not in that. My life's not in that. Like, and then my wife's gone on this like quest to prove me wrong. Fiance, sorry, at the time. And then she was reading, because she was pregnant, so she wasn't at work. So every day, my wife's a big reader, so she'd just read and read and read and read. And she started in the Old Testament, and right the way through, and she was asking me loads of questions. And I was like, listen, I've just started out with it. Like, I don't know. Like, I was like, a lot of these things I don't know. Ask him. I was like, ask God. She was like, what do you mean? I was like, ask him. I was like, if you have a question, just pray and ask him. And she was like, all right. So, and then like she started to feel like something was happening. And then we had like a really big game. We had to win to stay up. It was like one of the last games of the season. And Zara prayed before the game that I would score, and I never score. I'm a defender. Like, she's like, I pray that Jason will score and that they'll win. by a free kick. So he prayed that I scored by a free kick, and we won 1-0, and I scored a free kick. And then after the game, we were going for food, and we're about to go in, and she stopped me, and she said, "I've got to tell you something." And I was like, "Right." She was like, "I prayed before the game today that you would score a winning free kick and that you'd win." And I'm like, just like crying. I'm like, "What? Like, you surely not?" She was like, "Yeah." And I'm like, "So you believe then?" She was like, "Nah, it could have been coincidence." And I'm like, "Oh man." I'm like, "God, you got to do it again. Like, you got to do that. Like, you got to go again." And then something happened. Like, she was asleep one night. She had a dream. And then some, like a voice woke her up from the dream and said, it said Edison 91. And then she Googled, so she woke up, she's like, "Edison 91, what does that mean?" So she Googled it, and it's a footballer, the Man City footballer, and he's a Christian. This is his article, he's a Christian, and his favorite psalm, so favorite psalm is Psalm 91. So she's then gone on the Bible app, she's been reading it. She's looked at Psalm 91 and a bit of context. So Zara had a really, really rough childhood. So not my type of one. Her mum is a drug addict and like was from when she was younger. Her dad died when she was four. She was in and out of like her nans and her uncles, like the whole, she was really like tough. I think she lived with her nan permanently when she was like seven. But then first like 7 years of her life, she was like held captive in like drug dens while her mum would go and get money to come back, like lots of different stuff, like crazy stuff. Like some of the stories are mental, like what she went through. So Psalm 91 is like, I don't know if you're aware, like know it, but it's just a psalm of like that God protects us, like covers us with his feathers, like we'll live a long life, like all these amazing promises, and it's all around like protection and stuff. And so she read it, and she felt like as she was reading it, like God was saying it to her. She's like, she can't explain it, but when she was reading it, she was like, it was like God was saying it to her. And then she was just like, "Oh my word, like okay, like I'm here, I'm hearing you, and I'm like I'm listening." She went to sleep, and then she had like a long dream of all of the bad things that happened in her life and her childhood. And she was watching it from a bird's eye view. And in every single one, there was a big man next to her holding her hand with hair, of long hair and a robe. And it was Jesus. So Jesus was in all of these moments, basically, where she should have and could have died. Jesus was holding her hand. He was literally holding her hand. And then she woke up, and she woke me up in the morning, and she said, "What happened?" She was in tears. She woke up and she said, "I believe." And she like knelt with me by the bed, and she just prayed. She's like, "What do I do?" And I was like, "Just say like you give your life to him." Like, and then we did. And then literally a month later, we had George, our firstborn son. And then she said to me, literally a couple of weeks before George was born, she said, "We can't." That I came home, I've been having all these feelings of like, what are we gonna do? We're getting married in Barbados, like big wedding, like sent invites out, like everything. She said to me, like, one day I come home. She was like, "We're not doing that." She was like, "We're living in the city, like we need to get married now." And I was like, "Right, okay." I was like, "What are we gonna do?" She was like, "Where are you going to church?" And I'm like, "I'm just going like the local one." She was like, "All right, just speak to the pastor there and like we'll get married." So we got married 2 weeks later. Like she's got some like a dress. I got like a half decent out like suit, and then we went to the local church. He sorted it out for us. Dave bought amazing, like. He's really helped me and discipled me and Zara like amazingly. And we went and got married. Like families like just thought we were mental, like just off the charts, but like just then that so yeah, that's our story.
Wow. going crazy.
Crazy,
We're slightly weeping at yours, but I think hers is cooler.
like as is cooler.
It's quite funny because so much of it, like, well, it's different but very similar. Like, I became a Christian as a teenager, and I can clearly remember my mum saying that to me, like, "You've joined a cult. Like, what is wrong with you?" And like,
So did you not grow up in a Christian home either?
no. My dad's a world champion power lifter, but like, went like totally off the. So basically, I became a Christian when I was about, I think it was about 12 or 13, and literally 6 months later, unbeknown to us, he was addicted to steroids, coke, the full shebang. He's proper sort of like East End geezer, or was then, and was like, yeah, working on the door of a nightclub, had an affair, left us, came back, left us again, came back zillion times, in the midst of which I became a Christian. My mum spent, it's a very abridged version, my mum spent, yeah, about 6 months being convinced I was going to a cult and refusing to come anywhere. Like, she used to drive me to the church and drop me off and then like walk around the green with my brother and refuse to come in. Eventually I wore her down, or she got bored of walking around with my brother, I'm not
This
sure,
was while
came
you
in.
were like 12 or 13.
Eventually, long story short, about 4 or 5 years later, both my parents became Christians. I don't know. It always makes me smile slightly when you get sort of guys like my dad, like you know, sports people. You think you can handle your, like, we all think we're in control, don't we? And then God just says, "You're my child, and I love you," and something falls apart in us.
It's true. It's true. It's so true.
It's a beautiful story.
Thank you.
That was Jason McCarthy speaking with me, Emma Fowle, here on Premier Christian Radio. To listen to more conversations just like this one, download the profile as a podcast from wherever you normally get your podcasts from, or visit premier.plus/theprofile.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.
Taxes was feeling so stuck. Sitting in traffic, squeezing into a parking spot, all to squeeze in getting tax help during your lunch break. Now Taxes is a TurboTax expert who does your taxes for you, while you go about your day getting real-time notifications about their progress and the most money back guaranteed. Now this is Taxes, Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Only available with TurboTax Live Full Service, real-time updates only in iOS mobile apps. See guarantee details at TurboTax.com/guarantees.